welcome back to the Earth on Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters. With your questers, Josh and Dan. That guy is Josh.
And that other guy is Dan.
There we go. And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things thaumaturgical. Thank you, Kigorsi, for the word. Because we're going to discuss illusionist spells, third and fourth circle. Elementalist. I've done that now four times in a row. Son of a bitch. Okay. We're going to discuss elementalist spells, third and fourth circle. I am not alphabetizing at all today. I'm a little punchy. So if you have any questions for us about how to use the spells or any creative ways you've used these spells, please drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to make sure I'm on the proper page here. Yes, we're talking elementalist spells. I don't know what's wrong with
278 in the player's guide.
Yes, I'm on the right page now. So beginning our third circle elementalist spells, I think it was one of my absolute favorites. Ice, Mace, and Chain.
Oh, this spell is wonderful. This is also like one of my favorite spells across the board.
Oh, yeah.
This is a relatively short range, zero thread spell. It doesn't do a lot of damage, but it has the secondary effect that if when you roll the damage, you don't explode any of the dice. If none of the dice explode,
yeah,
the chains wrap around the target, harrying them.
Yes.
Through the subsequent round.
Yeah, because duration's two rounds.
Well, so, yeah. So extra success levels on the spellcasting test extend the duration that the chains remain in place, harrying the target if they don't roll any bonus dice.
Yeah, because then they're entangled and you have the harried penalties, and that's just fun.
Right. If you get bonus dice, then you're doing a bunch of damage and they're not tangled. If you don't, then they have the added effect of being slowed up and harried in a certain way. But the fact that it is a zero thread spell at third circle is very nice. It had zero threads in first edition. This was a staple third circle
bread and butter.
Yeah, this is the spell that once you hit third circle, oh, this is the spell that I'm going to have in my matrix
at all times.
Similar in some ways to, like, we talked about what is it, Aura Strike with the wizard, that it's just a spell that is really, really nice to have candy if you can.
We can say it. It's a badass spell.
Yeah. And then when you get into journeyman circles and you get your additional thread that you can weave in advance to this with your enhanced matrix, you can additional target, increase the effect step, the damage that it does, increase the range. You can make it an even more potent spell when those options become available. Very nice. I have no complaints about this. It is, if this spell had not been in the book, I think we probably would have had people revolting.
I agree. I absolutely, yes, it would be in revolt constantly. Next up for third circle elementalist spell, Lightning Bolt. Also very handy.
Also a very handy damage spell. This is another one that is relatively short range. Honestly, a lot of the damage spells are relatively short range. Lightning Bolt does require a thread, so it is not as quick as Ice, Mace, and Chain, but it does more damage, and it has the potential effect of extra successes on the spellcasting test will chain the bolt to additional targets.
Yes.
So that you can damage, with a good enough spellcasting test, damage multiple opponents with this. I would have it be a single damage roll, affects the damage the same to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you pick your initial target, the one that you're casting it on, and then the result of the spellcasting test is compared against the Mystic Defense of other targets that are potential if you get the extra successes.
Yeah.
But that means that you can try and maybe get around this by doing the initial casting at a lower Mystic Defense target and hoping that you get the extra successes, but you still need to roll high enough to affect those additional targets. So you can't like hit a minion to get around the high mystic defense of a horror or more dangerous opponent or whatever, because you still need to roll high enough. Any additional successes that might result against the mystic defense of secondary targets don't generate their own reflections.
Yeah.
So would kind of chain from one person to a group of other people within the area, but you couldn't go like from one person to a second, to a third, to a fourth, kind of chaining it out that way.
Yeah. Not like a train track.
Right.
One to the next, to the next, to the next. So it's more like a spider web in that regard.
Splaying your fingers out where the primary target is the palm, and then the fingers are kind of raiding. I guess.
Something like that. And I want to make it ask the question on behalf of other people who might ask the question. One additional thread per additional target, correct? So if you want to add three targets, you have to add three threads.
Correct. Yes. That's different from the success levels, because extra additional targets is an option as an extra thread each. And it says plus one additional target. So each additional thread that you choose to weave, it will automatically add an additional target. And I would say that as that is one of the primary targets of the spell, that one could potentially cause its own secondary jumps.
Yeah, fair. Okay, on to our third circle, elementalist spell, Mantle of the Reflecting Pool. This one sounds new to me for 4th edition.
It is, because this is a binding spell, which is a new concept that was introduced for elementalist and nethermancer spells in 4th edition. There were more that were introduced with the shaman when that was redone for Mystic Paths, but this is a spell that essentially summons a spirit and binds it into the target in order to get a particular effect.
Wow.
Bringing more spirit magic, in a sense, into the spell selection for these disciplines to really play up how they interact with spirits, rather than just having that be a summoning situation.
Nice. Yeah, there's a few paragraphs to read on that one. So it's...
Yeah.
It's at least based upon the water element. So I like the fact that it lists the element that it's based upon.
Right. There is, in a sense, a drawback to the various mantle spells, because if the target of the spell behaves in a way that is contrary to the nature of the spirit that is bound to them, then it ends the spell early.
Ah, gotcha.
In a way, you can sort of think of these kinds of spells as predetermined tasks that are already like predetermined formulaic tasks that are done. If you want to kind of take it into the summoning paradigm, Fair. It's just the spell does a specific task. It does a specific thing within the terms that are defined by the spell itself. And there's not really a lot of flexibility. What Mantle of the Reflecting Pool does is it makes the target very personable.
Hmm.
They gain a bonus to conversation tests. They also, on those tests, can, based on results, ask general questions regarding the attitude and feelings of the person that they are communicating with. It's a very sort of empathic spell. And provides you a very strong sense of what's going on. A very social spell, in a way.
Gotcha.
The more you try and find out, the more questions you ask, the higher the difficulty of that becomes. And if you fail a conversation test, then the spell ends.
Gotcha.
If the spell ends prematurely, the bound character, the character that was the target of the spell, receives a -5 penalty to all charisma-based tests until they get a full night's rest. So there is kind of a downside to really pushing it, and the bound character, if they express any strong opinions or emotions not expressed by the person that they are conversing with,
yeah,
or they forcefully manipulate the interaction, or they pressure the target, then that kind of breaks it, because this is a, it's Mantle of the Reflecting Pool. This is a very like placid, slowly flowing and moving that way, as opposed to the forceful rush of a waterfall or a wave breaking or something like that.
So it's a conversation, not a badgering the witness.
Correct. Absolutely.
Fair. So this takes your introvert, makes him a partial extrovert for a little while so they can have a better conversation.
It plays on the idea of how a way that you can build rapport with people, and this is a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
By mirroring them.
Mm-hmm.
By reflecting their own attitudes and postures and mannerisms back at them in a certain way.
Yes.
And even if it's not necessarily something that they consciously recognize, they will still pick it up. It's a way someone who is not part of a particular group or is a socially awkward or an outsider in some ways mm-hmm. can be picked out because they are not behaving in a manner that reflects
The overall group. Yeah. I was going to go with, this is like your perfect salesman, mirroring the customer.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's sort of one thing that you can do. I wouldn't say that this spell is designed to do that.
No.
That is still potentially a pressuring situation. I don't know. I'm not a salesperson.
Me either. But I was like, that's kind of the effect you're going for, is mirroring the customer so that you can get them on board with what you're going for. Not necessarily badgering them, but
right.
getting the information as to what possible thing that they're looking for that you can help them achieve. Go with that. And we'll stop talking about it now before we dig ourselves a hole. Fourth one, plant feast. This is one of those bread and butter spells, but it's three threads. So this takes some planning.
Right. Well, this is not a combat spell. There is not really a whole lot of need for spells that are most likely to be cast outside of a time pressure situation to not have a bunch of threads.
Yes.
The magician gets a little bit of plants.
Needs yeah.
Three intact plants, no matter how scrawny, and then casts the spell. If successful, the effect test, it produces a number of meals for people to actually eat. So you yes. can make meals out of nothing, not quite nothing, yes. but very nearly so.
Yeah.
And while they could appear to contain meat, they don't actually do, because it's all plant matter.
Yes.
The spell creates types of food that the magician themselves have tasted within the last year and a day. Which the spell then says, which is a good reason for elementalists to occasionally indulge in fine food or a wide variety of food in order to provide
yes.
a significant portion or variety in what they can produce with this. It does not provide any kind of healing effect, but the fact is that it can do very well at keeping a group fed mm-hmm. and alive
yeah.
in places where there might not be much in the way of natural forage. You know, we were talking about survival in the previous episode. yeah. This is one of those spells that if you have an elementalist in your group that knows this spell, food potentially stops being a danger that you need to worry about.
Yeah. You're not necessarily going to go starving. And
right.
this is a time saver. If you are in an area that doesn't have a lot to hunt or forage for, this is your time saver. You're just done. Move on to the next part of the story.
Its effect is will plus two, but that result determines how many meals mm-hmm. that it makes. If you're just looking to feed your adventuring group.
Yeah.
Then
four or five people.
That's not that difficult to pull off. And again, if you're not in any kind of time pressure, there's nothing to prevent you from weaving extra threads to increase that effect step.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking at a step 8, step 9 to start, unless you completely bogart your roll, you're likely to be able to feed your adventuring group. there is some talk that occasionally comes up about, oh, well, with this spell available, why is it that starvation is a concern? Well, because there are only so many elementalists, and in order to feed a large population, they would have to be casting this spell basically nonstop in order to generate enough food to feed everybody. And they would need the raw materials to do that for each casting of the spell, because those three plants are kind of used up in the course of that. And so if they don't have the foundation, it's just better to actually grow your food rather than to rely on magic. But for small groups, this is really, really handy.
Oh, it is. It has saved my party a number of times. Not going to lie. Next up, Thrive.
This is another spell that deals with plants in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
It accelerates plant growth. Plants in the area of effect experience the equivalent of 1 week's growth over the remainder of the round when the spell is cast.
Woof.
After the spell ends, the growth rate returns to normal, but the plants don't shrink.
It's a quick boost.
Yeah, it is a quick boost. It is a way to potentially turn around a crop season a little bit more quickly. There is a limit to how much it can be cast. There's only so much that you can do to a certain extent.
Yeah, the area of effect is only a couple yard radius.
So yeah, and it can only and only once per affected area per week.
Mm-hmm.
It does a week's worth of growth, but then you kind of need to have time catch up to it, quote unquote.
Yeah. Jet lag.
To think about why it wouldn't work again. But you combine this with another spell that elementalists get with, Shelter, right?
Yes.
And you could increase the amount of vegetation or undergrowth that is present to allow you to make the shelter that you're looking for. You can, with extra threads, increase the effect to get additional days of growth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some potentially creative use cases for this spell for someone who is inclined to think about how they might be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah. So I love creative use of spells. Always have, always will. Last up for third circle, elementalist, is the Winds of Deflection. I know this is, a zero thread spell, so this is kind of like a moving shield.
Yes. This is a spell that's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Zero threads. It is a defensive spell for the elementalist. They make a spell casting. They gain a +3 bonus to any avoid blow tests, and also allows avoid blow to be used against blindside and surprise attacks. So they don't need to be aware of the attack coming in to attempt to avoid blow, which is normally a limitation of that ability.
Agreed.
They are surrounded by a wall of swirling wind. The idea being that if they succeed in the avoid blow test, then the winds have pushed aside the attack or deflected it to the point that they don't actually suffer any harm.
Yeah. So it's a great shield spell, essentially, for your elementalist. I know Ice Mason Chain and Lightning Bolt are two of my favorites. What are your favorites for third circle elementalist?
Man, you can't turn down Ice Mason Chain. Winds of Deflection is really handy.
Yes.
Magicians typically do not have the greatest physical defense, although the elementalist is better than others in that case. Having that additional defense against avoid blow is good for both physical and for close combat and ranged attacks.
Yeah.
Lightning Bolt is nice. And you got to give honorable mention to Plant Feast.
Yeah. No arguments here. The elementalist I hung with had Winds of Deflection, Ice Mason Chain, Lightning Bolt, and Plant Feast. And man, he used those more than anything he ever had at first and second circle.
I really like Mantle of the Reflecting Pool as kind of a really flavorful, new, interesting spell.
Yes.
I would say out of all of them, the weakest, quote unquote, is probably Thrive. And that's only because its use case is a little bit more limited, but probably very rewarding to a creative magician whose game master is willing to go along with them on things.
Fair.
But in all honesty, a week's growth is not a lot.
No. I mean, maybe if it's like ready to harvest and you just need that extra week to get it there so you can all eat.
Yeah.
You know, finish it off. Hey, it's ready to eat. You know, maybe that's about it.
Or to give yourself more. Yeah, I mean, there are potential use cases for it. It just requires maybe a little bit more thought and care and creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's what they're there for, is for you to use. It's a tool. If you can use it better than most, there you go. Fourth circle. We have a few more spells to get through. Air Blast. This is a zero thread fourth circle spell.
Yes. This does not cause any damage, but it creates a, as the name implies, blast of air that requires anybody caught within the area to make a knockdown test against the effect in order to avoid being knocked down. Send people sprawling.
Yeah, this is your blast effect you see in movies nowadays. Everyone goes flying backwards 10, 15, 20 feet, whatever.
Think of like some of the stuff that Aang did in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that he does in that with air knocking people around and blasting them and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
This is an area control spell. Knockdown is awful. If you can get this to knock down opponents, it makes them easier to subdue or otherwise deal with.
Yep.
Of course, against opponents that have high knockdown tests, whether they have wound balance or whether you're dealing with four-legged creatures that typically have a higher knockdown step or have a high strength, it's not going to be as effective against them. But you can still do a decent job of controlling the area. And there are other use cases for this where you are generating a really strong wind within a particular area.
Yeah, this is your area effect. And it's like the Incredible Hulk clap.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, things... There you go. Thunderclap. Done. But Air Blast is a great name. Blizzard Sphere. Two threads on this sucker.
Yeah, this is a long-term area effect spell. It causes a small snowstorm within the area that it affects, which is a 4-yard radius. So it is not a small area. You can cast it within 30 yards. So it's a little bit on the longer range side.
Yeah.
It doesn't do a lot of damage compared to earlier versions of it.
Fair.
But it causes movement to be halved within the area of effect. There was the wizard spell that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which caused the swirling mass of small objects.
Yes.
Blizzard Sphere, very, very effective as an area denial spell to control the battlefield. To either force opponents to deal with it or go around it in some capacity, using it on a choke point. And as an area effect spell, it's pretty good.
Absolutely. So Juggler's Touch was the wizard spell from... Yes.
Yep. I don't think Juggler's Touch reduced movement.
No.
No. Okay. But yeah, Blizzard Sphere is great.
Yes, it is. I know it... No questions there. And I think the bread and butter for fourth circle elementalists, Elemental Spear.
This is actually 5 different spells. One for each of the 5 elements that the elementalist is associated with. Each one has a different effect. However, all the ones that you know can be placed in the same spell matrix.
Yeah. You just have to buy the spell 5 times.
Yeah. That's the one drawback, and is kind of the way that elementalists, in one sense, get more spells than anybody else, because there are some spells where they actually have multiple versions because of the different elements that are associated with it. This is a ranged spell. The effect varies based on what element you are used. Air, if successful, creates a thunderclap that causes affected characters to suffer a penalty to their action tests until the end of the round.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a disorienting effect. Earth spears force the target to resist knockdown. They take damage in addition all of these, except for one, cause damage in addition to these secondary effects.
Yeah.
So the air spear causes damage and causes the thunderclap effect. Earth spear does damage and forces a knockdown test. Fire spear just does extra damage. It's just the most damaging of them.
Why would it not be?
Wood spears sprout entangling vines that will harry the target until the end of the next round. And then probably the most popular variant of this is the water spear, which rather than harming, heals the target. Mm-hmm. When cast, you will generally cast this on a fellow ally.
Yes.
They can immediately spend a recovery test with a bonus. This bonus does not stack with any other bonuses that they might have pending for recovery tests. But it is a situation where you can help your party members stay up in combat by allowing them to make recovery tests when they normally wouldn't. Considering there are not a lot of options for this to happen, wood skin and fireblood are sort of the two examples of that. Otherwise, I mean, it costs the recovery test, but that still happens, and they get a bonus to the damage that they healed, so that can be useful.
I mean, yeah, because I can hit you with the water spear 20 yards away.
Yeah.
So, here you go. Heal up. Keep fighting. Because that's an awesome thing right there, especially since they don't have to take time out to do it. So that's even better. Next up, Grove Renewal.
This is a in-combat healing spell.
Yes, because out of combat, it does something massively different.
It doesn't do something massively different. It just does something a little bit different. If the spellcasting test is successful, either the target or the magician must spend a recovery test.
Mm-hmm.
So the magician, the elementalist, can spend one of their recovery tests on behalf of the target in order for this to go off.
Yeah.
And the target heals 4 damage each round on their initiative, and it lasts for spellcaster's rank plus 5 rounds.
Yeah.
So it lasts a while and provides this kind of low grade recurring healing every round. The damage restored is reduced by the number of wounds that the character is suffering from.
As normal.
So if they have a wound, then they would only heal 3 per round. But that's still a sort of sustain, low grade. It can certainly help take care of the strain damage that, say, a frontline character suffers.
He's
talking about like a warrior or sword master or archer.
Yeah.
It's certainly worthwhile. Outside of combat, the healing is reduced to 1 damage per round and doesn't gain any bonus from additional threads. So essentially outside of combat, it only helps a little bit and only if the target does not have any wounds, because the wounds still reduce the...
Yeah.
And that's just simply something of a balance thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because elementalists get a lot of healing enhancements.
Yeah.
Between heat food and the water spear and things like that. I mean, all of these still require you to expend the recovery test in order to get that effect. So it's not unlimited healing.
Yeah.
But this one, especially where the elementalist can spend their own recovery tests, elementalists get access to fire heal, which allows them to stock up potentially on recovery tests to spend for targets on this. This is new, but it's a pretty cool spell.
It is.
I think it's new.
It rang a bell that it was new for me as well. So yeah, 4 points in combat, 1 point out of combat. So basically it's a reduction by like 1 in 4.
Yeah.
So it's significant.
It lasts quite a number of rounds. So, you know, assume that at 4th circle, the elementalist is going to at least have a rank 4 spellcasting. You're looking at 9 rounds minimum to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
Extra success levels increase the duration and thus the healing that takes place.
Yeah.
But you're looking at 9 by 4, you know, you're looking at 36 damage healed, barring any penalties from wounds over the course of the sort of most basic expected duration for the spell.
Yeah, because anybody who's just taking strain from a void blow is getting that right back. And maybe then some. Who knows? But yeah, I think that's a nice, flavorful addition to the repertoire of the Elementalist. Next up, Lightning Step. And this one also sounds new or renamed.
No, Lightning Step, I'm pretty sure, was around in earlier editions. Yeah, Lightning Step was in earlier editions.
Okay, fair.
I happened to have the third edition player's guide. Lightning Step is listed in that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Very different. Lightning Step in third edition had three threads, whereas this version has zero.
Slight overhaul.
Yeah. The effect for Lightning Step in 4th edition has been reduced somewhat to reflect the reduction in the number of required threads.
Yeah.
What Lightning Step does is, for its duration, which is rank rounds, the target, because it is range touch, you can cast it on yourself or on your allies, moves around on a sizzling 1 foot wide lightning bolt that pops with every step, basically sort of jumping them around from place to place. They gain a +2 bonus to their initiative step, +2 bonus to their movement rate, and +2 bonus to their physical defense while the spell is in effect.
Nice.
The earlier version of the spell, the effect step, it had an effect step. The effect step was used as the initiative step rather than just providing a flat bonus. The spell, in addition to providing the physical and defense and the movement bonuses, basically was a pretty significant initiative booster.
Yeah.
That aspect of things has been toned down, but still, it's a +2 bonus to three very useful attributes within combat.
Yeah. Sounds like an elementalist version. God, that's a hard word to say. Of acrobatic defense.
A little bit. Yeah. It does a little bit more than acrobatic defense does.
Agreed.
Because it provides the bonuses to initiative and movement rate as well.
Yes.
But it's got a limited bonus, whereas acrobatic defense could provide a much higher bonus to physical defense based on the result. So there's some trade-offs there.
Absolutely. Similar idea. Just, you know, walking on lightning is just kind of cooler. Not going to lie. Not going to lie at all.
It is a very flashy spell, so to speak.
Pun intended. And last, Uneven Ground.
Yet another area effect zone denial spell. Elementalists get a lot of these.
Yeah.
This one, the ground lurches, causing affected targets within the area of effect to become harried and having their movement rate until they move out of the area effect. The magician is not affected by it.
Yeah.
They can move through it just fine, which is good because it's cast range self. So it's centered on themselves and then affects a 10-yard radius around them. This is similar in some ways to Blizzard Sphere or Icy Surface, where you are making an area that is very difficult for your enemies to operate. You can, with extra threads, remove targets, so you can make it so your allies are not affected the same way that you are, which can make for a pretty sizable area, a 10-yard radius, that can turn the site of a battle very decidedly against your enemies.
Yeah.
It does require two threads, and so there is an additional thread on top of that to remove those targets. But yes, it might take a round or two to prepare and cast the spell, but it lasts four rank rounds. So it's not like some of those damage dealing spells with higher thread requirements where you're only doing damage every second or third round.
Yeah.
This is one where it takes a couple of rounds to prepare and cast, but then the effect is in place for a while.
Yeah.
And high success results means that that effect is around for longer.
Absolutely. This one combined with either Air Blast or Blizzard Sphere, I can't figure out which one I would rather use, but Uneven Ground just reminds me of the Urban Renewal spell from Shadowrun.
I vaguely recall that spell. All of these spells are strong. All of these spells are amazing.
Yeah.
In their own way. Third Circle, we had Thrive as...
Eh.
It's good, but maybe a somewhat limited use cases without extreme creativity. There's nothing in the Fourth Circle Elementalist...
That you want to be without.
...kit that you would want to be without. You've got so many other options in terms of zone control and secondary effects from these spells that really the only spear spell that you probably really want to get is Water Spear.
Mm-hmm.
The others are nice, but Earth Spears force a target to resist knockdown. Okay, great. Well, so does Air Blast.
Yes. Fire Spear is just straight damage.
Fire Spear is straight damage, but that's will plus four... plus an additional D6. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Agreed.
For a one thread damage spell, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Wood Spears cause the target to be harried. Well, so does Blizzard Sphere. So does Uneven Ground.
Yeah.
The advantage to Elemental Spear is that because you can have multiple of these in the same matrix, you can have multiple effects of these ready to go.
Yeah.
And pull out the one that is suitable for any particular moment rather than necessarily needing to decide ahead of time which one you're going to do. The one thread, in a sense, you could think about it as taking that round to weave the appropriate element into the basic spear spell itself in order to get the effect that you're going for. But really, there is not, in the Fourth Circle list, there is not a loser in the group.
Agreed. Again, there's not any of those spells I would want to be without.
There are ones where you could go, well, I think I would prefer to have Blizzard Sphere over Uneven Ground to start with.
Yeah.
But those are both area effect, zone denial. Blizzard Sphere does a little bit of damage. Uneven Ground
hinders the opponent's actions.
Yeah, it's all really good.
It's 1A, fantastic 1B, selection. 1C, 1D.
Yeah. Broadly speaking, I like Elementalists as spellcasters just in terms of my temperament and the type of character that I like to play.
Yeah.
You know, wizards are still number one, but the Elementalist spell kit is incredibly evocative and incredibly useful and incredibly powerful in its own way.
And for those of you who like to have visuals in your storytelling, these all provide fantastic visuals.
Yeah. Grove Renewal, look, if you had been listening to the Legends of Earthdawn podcast, Grove Renewal, once it became available, was used quite a lot in that game to keep us up and keep us going, or to help us recover the tail end of a fight.
Yeah.
Especially works really well with a Questor of Garlan, because Questors of Garlan also get additional ways that they can gain recovery tests that they could then spend on the spell in order to heal people and stuff like that. I think they get an effect where they can spend their devotion points as recovery tests to power spells like this.
Yeah.
That's just a killer combo.
Agreed.
The Elementalist spells are solid and you can find uses for all of them pretty easily.
Agreed. All four circles are badass.
In a sense, the Elementalist in one regard is one of the more straightforward magicians, just in terms of like what their spells do, and the effects are pretty clear, and there's not necessarily a lot of outside the box thinking or lateral approaches that you need to take with them. They're exactly what they say, and they are useful exactly in that regard.
Like the elements themselves, they present exactly what they are. Take them for what they say they are and how they appear. So no arguments here. I love the Elementalist kit. They're like I said, it's 1A and 1B wizard and Elementalist. I'm good. So We will explore the other spells on the other spellcasters here in the next couple of episodes, so stay tuned for those. Otherwise, folks, if you have any questions for us, or if you've used these in interesting ways, please let us know at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, go cast some of these spells for your legend.
Good night, everybody.